else could help me or no one else could understand. And once I let my situation dictate how I saw myself, that I was isolated, that I was alone, and I wasn't, because that wasn't the truth. I wasn't alone. I wasn't in isolation. But once I let my situation dictate how I saw myself, it was easy to transition to letting the situation dictate how I saw God and what my perception of him was. So, and in the past, I had dealt with having a distorted perception of who God was. Like, as a teenager, I served God, but, like, life got rough very easy. Like, I found myself often homeless. Like, my dad was on drugs and homeless, and my mom was God knows where. But, and I allowed myself to look at other people's situations and compare mine to theirs. And so I saw that God was good. I said, I see he's good to my friends. I see he's good in my friend's life. I see how he takes care of them, how he fathers them, but he doesn't do it to me. And I thought, like, oh, I figured that out. I figured out that lie, that's a lie. That's not who God is. But what happened was, it wasn't that I stopped, that I figured out who God was. I just figured out that specific lie wasn't who God was. What I was doing is, instead of saying this is who God is, I was just focusing on who God wasn't. So in that time, in the time when I lost the baby, instead of saying, figuring out who God was, all I did was say, well, I know he wouldn't do that to me. I know he didn't leave me. I know he's still working in my life. I didn't put it into perspective. And so I began to believe a different lie about God. I believed that he was there. I knew he didn't do it to me, but I allowed myself to believe that even though he didn't do it to me, he didn't protect me from it. I felt abandoned by him because he didn't save me. He knew that those 2 years I wanted that baby, I prayed for that baby, we desired that baby, and he knew what it would do to me. He knew it would break my heart. God knew that, right? He made me. He knew that I would, he knows the beginning from the end. He knew that I was going to go into a grief that I couldn't bear. He knew it, but he let it happen to me anyway, right? Like that's what I allowed myself to believe. But I didn't put it into perspective. What I did was I said, be quiet. We already figured out that's not who God is. We already figured out that we have a good perception of God. We know who he is. You be quiet. Fix your face. Come to church. Go to work, and don't let anybody know what's going on. Don't let anybody know that you cry at night. Don't let anybody know what happens in your closet, because nobody has to know that, because you fixed it. You've overcome that. Sometimes we forget that we might have to do it again. We might have to go through that valley again. We might have to go through a little deeper. It might be a little harder this next time. Just because we've overcome something once doesn't mean we're good. Who in here is perfect, right? Like, just because I decided that I knew who God was doesn't mean that I really, who knows who God is? Who really has a grasp of how good he is and how wonderful he is and how much he cares for us? And so there's a few things that I want to talk about. First, it was the grief. Maybe you in here are going through grief, or you're going through a period of mourning. And also, as I went through this period, I found that I also went into a depression. I so easily slid from grief to depression, and it was so bad that I was. And not everybody knows this, because I didn't tell anybody. I didn't talk to anybody about it. I just fixed my face, stopped crying, and went on with my life. I was diagnosed with severe depression, but there was nothing I could do with it, nothing I could do about it, because I wasn't going to take any medication because I wanted to get pregnant. And here I was just living this life where I had this community surrounding me, but I did everything alone. I looked at my situation and I saw it with eyes of hopelessness. I knew that, I mean, even if I had another baby, it wasn't going to bring the other baby back, right? Like, there was nothing that was going to fix that. I looked at my situation and I forgot that death has no sting. that Jesus has the keys to hell and death, that we don't have to, I don't have to fear death anymore. I forgot about that. I just looked at my situation with hopelessness. If you're in a time of depression, or if something is taking over how you feel or how you see life or how you see your circumstances, the one thing that I did wrong is like I said, I looked at my situation with hopelessness, and I forgot that the Bible says so much about who we are and what we're doing, where we're going, and it has nothing to do with our situation. So I just have a few scriptures that I wanted to read, so that if you are going through this right now, if you're in a state of depression, or if you're sad, or if something is hurting your heart, I just have a few scriptures that I wish that I would have opened my Bible and looked. But again, I was pretending like I was fine. There's nothing wrong with me. I just stop crying, get up, and live your life. And then when no one's around, then you can go back. Then you can go back to being sad. Then you can go back to crying. Then you can go back to what your real life is. But I just have a few scriptures for you. Philippians 1:8 says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Had I done that, had I remembered that, had I remembered what God's word said, Deuteronomy 31:8 says, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." Psalms 31:17, "The righteous cry out and the Lord hears them." See, instead, in my little corner that I cried thinking nobody cared. I cried thinking, "God, though you didn't do this to me, you didn't protect me from it. You didn't save me from it." It says he hears them and he delivers them from all his troubles. Psalms 32:10 says, "Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts him." Psalms 42:11 says, "Why, my soul, are you cast down? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my God and my Savior. 1 Peter 5, 6-7 says, "Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." John 16:33 says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Romans 8:38-39 says, "For I am convinced that neither life nor death, nor angels nor demons, nor present nor future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate from us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Okay, there's like 10 more, but y'all get the hint, right? Like, God is for you, not against you. You don't have to stay in the situation that you've been in. You don't have to accept grief. There's nothing wrong with mourning. There's nothing wrong with going through the motions to have a healed heart, but we don't have to stay there. I don't have to look at my situation and say, that baby's dead and gone. I have a hope now. That baby's in my future. There are things that I can mourn about that every day, but I have to decide that I'm closer to that baby than I am further away from that terrible moment in life. Does that make sense? So a few things. There was grief that I stayed in longer. There was depression that I stayed there longer. And I truly believe that the reason why I stayed there is because I isolated myself and I acted like I was fine when I was secretly broken. I never allowed myself to look at the truth of God's word. I kept my eyes on my pain and not on him. Sorry, excuse me. Okay, so that's where I was. Okay, so after 6 years, got pregnant again, and you would think that I would be so happy, right? Like it's 6 years, it finally happened. But instead, just like I had believed the lie that God didn't protect me from it, I began to believe the lie that God wasn't going to protect me again. For weeks, I let fear grip me. I couldn't even be excited. Like, here's something that I waited for and prayed for, and it happened, and I cried tears of fear, not tears of joy. And it still makes me mad because I allowed the devil to take that from me. I had waited. God gave me my miracle, and instead of saying thank you, I said, "You're going to let me down again." Like, who does that? And thank God that he's faithful when we're not. Because I was... I, I I was like, where are you at? Oh, you're going to be gone again, aren't you? Like, I could not get over where I was at. And maybe you can relate to that. Maybe fear grips you in certain situations, or maybe there's things that you can't believe God for because you feel like he's let you down before. There are, in prayer, there are three things that four things that I know that God wants to heal. If I could have Sammy. Where's Sammy? There he is. There's some things that God wants to heal. If any part of this resonated in any part of you, if there's ever been a time, if there's ever a place in your life where you feel grief that you've never laid down, if there's a place in your heart that is still broken, that you need God to heal. If you're like me and you suffered in silence and you went home and that's who you really were, and then when it was time to get up and go, you fixed your face and then you went about your day, and no one knows that you're depressed. No one knows that you go home and cry. No one knows what you're really going through. Not even God knows, but you don't let him in. Those of you who are dealing with depression, those of you who felt abandoned or forsaken, you feel like there are times in your life where things happen and you know God didn't do it to you, or maybe you don't know. Maybe you feel like God did do those things to you. Maybe you feel like it was God's fault. Or maybe you know that you feel like he didn't protect you from it. And the last one is fear. Because I know God forgave me, and I know he doesn't think about it, but I'm still mad that I waited so long and he gave me this miracle. And let me tell you, my baby is pretty. Like, she is cute. Like, for real, my son, he came out, he looked like Mr. Magoo for like a couple months. And all my friends like, he's so cute. I'm like, I can see him. He's beautiful to me. But she's a gift from God. And instead of thanking him, instead of feeling the joy that he created me to feel, all I felt was fear. And I felt fear for weeks. Even once I got past, you know, you're supposed to get past 12 weeks and then like everything will be fine. Even once I got past that, I was still afraid, like, what if? And I don't know how it would come up and be like, on Facebook, like the devil's on Facebook, be like, baby lost at 23 weeks. I'm like, oh my gosh, now I have to wait till 23 weeks. I'd be like, baby died at 32. I'm like, oh my, like I was forever, it was never enough. And then at one point that my doctor called me and said, she has a marker for Down syndrome. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I waited this long. You gave me this baby and there's going to be something wrong with her. She's not going to be healthy. Like, who, like, what? How dare I? God gave me my miracle, and I still questioned him, and I still didn't trust him. And even throughout the journey, there were times when, like, it would get really bad. Like, really bad. And God would send someone to say, oh my gosh, I had a dream you were pregnant. And, like, even when God knew that I didn't trust him, that I blamed him, he would send someone to say, I still love you. There's still a hope. And it wouldn't matter because like a month later, I'd be like mad again. And then someone else would come when I thought I was at my lowest. And they'd say, so many, eventually I'd be like, well, when? When am I going to have a baby? When am I going to have this baby? Tell me when. Did God tell you that? Like, and it didn't matter. It didn't matter what I did. It didn't matter how unfaithful I was. God remained faithful. And so if there is any part of this, because this is the place where I came on Fridays to get me through the next week. It was this room, it was this community of people that I knew that I'm gonna get filled up here, I'm gonna get fixed for just a little bit until the next week. So if any of that resonates with any part of you, if you feel grief, if you feel like God didn't protect you from something, or God allowed something to happen to you, or you're dealing with depression right now, if any of that, or maybe you just want to worship God. If any of that, I want to pray, and I just want to get in His presence, because I know that in His presence it sustained me until He healed me, week after week. And it wasn't because I was just getting sustained because that's as far as I was going to let God go. I was going to wait 6 years no matter what, but I didn't have to do it in pain. I didn't have to do it in fear. I could have had victory even in my waiting. But before we do that, I just want to see if there's anyone in here, and we're just going to do it very quickly. If you've never given your life to God, if you've never said, I want to be born again, I want to choose heaven instead of hell. And it's not just a question of whether or not you're going to go to hell or heaven, because for me, if hell can seem so far away, like death can seem so far away, like I'm gonna live forever. But it's not just about whether or not you're going to go to heaven or hell. It's about having a relationship. It's about, man, times are going to be tough. Times are going to be hard. That is life. And the only way you're going to get through it is through a relationship with Christ. I mean, you might just survive, but there's so much more for you. If you've never received Lord Jesus as your Savior, if you've never said, I want you to be the Lord of my life, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. Or maybe you've done that before and you're not, but you don't have a relationship with Him. It's not about doing stuff the right way. It's not about choosing the right way to do things. It's about having a relationship with Him. Because the reality is, once you have a relationship with Him and your heart changes, your outside changes. It's easy to not do those things that you're not supposed to do when your heart says, I want to please Him. If you're just trying to do things on your own and you're just trying to do the right things and not sin, it's too hard. It's just too hard. Let me tell you, it's real easy to sin. So if you've never given your heart to God, and you want to become a Christian, you want to be born again, you want this life that you want to live this life with Him, or maybe you've walked away from Him and you want to come back, I'm talking to you. So I'm just going to count to three, and if that's you, if you want to become born again, if you want to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, maybe if you want to come back home, just raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Anybody? Just going to wait. I remember when I rededicated my life, I was like sweating in my seat, like, shit, I'm fine. Like talking myself out of it, like, no, you're fine. You got saved. Remember when you were 8, you got saved? Like, you raise your hand, you're fine. But my life was a mess. I didn't love God. Just 1, 2. Is there anyone else? It's not nothing weird. You just like me, Jesus. The Bible says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. You're just saying me. We're just gonna pray in our seats real quickly, and then we're gonna pray. We're just gonna get in His presence, just like I said. Anybody else? Okay. So if you guys could just pray this prayer, and it's really simple. You're just going to ask God to come into your heart and be your Lord and the Lord and Savior of your life. If everybody could repeat after me. God, we come before you, and we thank you for what you did on the cross. We ask you to be our Lord and Savior. We thank you that tonight our life is going to change, that you are never going to leave us or forsake us. You have a purpose and plan for our life. And we thank you and we love you. Amen. Okay, so now we're going to pray. So like I said, oh yeah, I forgot. Okay, so after I found out I was pregnant, remember I told you I was in fear, just like fear. Like I felt like I couldn't breathe. Like, have you ever been in a situation where there's nothing you can do? Like, there was nothing I could do. There's nothing I could do. I couldn't make sure that my baby was gonna live. I couldn't do anything. All I had was Jesus. Sometimes in life, there's things that we have to do. Like I gotta stop yelling at my husband. Like, I want a better marriage. I gotta stop yelling at him. You know, like, there's some things that we have to do. But sometimes there's nothing we can do. God is the only answer. He is our only hope. So I remember getting in that same closet that I used to cry in and practically cursed God in. And I got in that closet and I played this song. I played "This Is How I Fight My Battles" because I knew I actually couldn't fight it. There's nothing that I could do. That God was the only one who could fix it. And so we're going to sing that song. And if you are depressed, I want you to come up. Nobody has to know. Just be like, I'm not depressed. It's between you and God. You don't have to be embarrassed or ashamed of it, because you're going to walk up here and you're going to leave it here. If you are one like me who just pretended they were okay, but they really weren't, you really aren't okay. I want you to come up, because you don't have to live like that anymore. If you're gripped by fear in certain situations, I want you to come up, because God wants to give you peace.